His divine grace, the Lacey, Bhakti Vedanta Smara, Shri Prabhupada, Jai. For Brahmanande, all glories to the Song of Shri, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Kuranga. Namaste, Saraswatam Deve, Gauravani Pracharne. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Padmagyade Dharma Oma Gyana Divinandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaktur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanyamiro Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shigra Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigurum Vaishnavam Scha Shirupam Sagradatam Sahagana Raganatam Vidham Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitam Sha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Prishavana Siddha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Padinanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prunitananda Shepaitya Dhar Shivasini Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So thank you for being here. Of course, today is the auspicious appearance of Lord Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. Now one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, but attains to the spiritual kingdom.
Sure.
Hare Krishna. I think this is this better. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
The word used is divya, spiritual. Actually, we are all spiritual, but we're in material consciousness. And therefore, we think ourselves to be material. We're part of the material energy. And we're imagining that our present existence is some kind of lila, or pastime. As I've said before, we are avatars. With the mudha avatars, the fool avatars. We've come here to perform all kinds of useless activities. Namely, we're in the midst of endeavor to imagine ourselves to be the center of attraction for other living entities. Actually, we are the center. The body that we have may be the center of attraction Just like when we die, when people die, sometimes the body is thrown to the vultures, and the body certainly becomes the center of attraction to the vultures. And when we're alive, people may admire our particular activities or our particular body, but that's only due to the fact that they themselves are not really conscious of what's worthy of adoration, at least in the material concept of love. Because, as Krishna says, that in Vishayavani Vartante, Nirharasu Dehina, Rasavarjam Rasopyasya, Param Drishva Vivartate. So when we experience a higher taste, when we can experience a transcendental taste of Krishna consciousness, then the material taste seems rather insignificant. But in the absence of experience on the spiritual platform, the material nature is all we have to experience. And therefore we try to find the maximum happiness here that will last as long as possible. But actually, all the happiness here is not the sufficient in order to actually satisfy us, nor can it actually even give us any security. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Naishti Bhurya Yuktasya, Nacha Yuktasya Bhavanaha, Nacha Bhavyanta Shantir, Ashantasya Kutapsukha. For one who is not in transcendental or spiritual consciousness can have neither a controlled mind nor a steady intelligence, without which there can be no happiness, there can be no peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? In other words, if we're actually thinking ourselves to be a product of the material nature, then it's not possible to be peaceful. If we think that at the end of this body, that that's the end of my existence, and that the only thing I have to hang on to is this body, then obviously we're going to be quite disappointed. There's not much to look forward to. No one sings, as I've said before, we sing happy birthday to you, just like now we have Krishna's birthday. I don't know if we'll sing happy birthday to Krishna, but we certainly sing happy birthday to our children, but we never sing happy death day to you, happy death day to you, because we're not looking forward to death. Because we think at the end time of death, then the whole drama, the whole leela, my whole endeavor to try to become someone significant in this world, that will all be destroyed. And therefore all my endeavor will be zero again. And we're very afraid of that. We're thinking I made some progress, I learned how to influence people, win friends and influence people. Finally, I got some money in the bank. People actually seem to like me. And now I don't know where I'm going. So it's a very fearful state of existence. And when it's always fearful, then where is there any question of happiness? We're always afraid what's going to happen to us the next moment. Then how can we be happy? We can't even be peaceful. And if we're not peaceful, how can we be happy? Therefore, janma karma chame divyam. One has to come to the spiritual platform at least to become peaceful. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna had said that the body is changing, which we all know, although we don't like to admit. We like to cover over the fact that the body is changing. We look in the mirror and we think, oh, I'm not that old. I look a little younger today. Yes, sure. those gray hairs or white hairs, that's wisdom. It's not real. So we see we're growing older, but we don't really like to admit that that's a sign of the fact that we're not going to be here forever. We become diseased and we think, oh, it'll go away. Just like I know one devotee was telling me, his father had just had a quadruple bypass. He was 90 years old. So the son told the father, he said, "Father, isn't it about time you became serious about Krishna consciousness?" The father said, "No, no, there's no problem. I just had the operation. Everything's all right now." Up until the time of death, we're worried that I might die. And then when we're about to die, we're surprised. How is this possible? I'm only 99 years old. I'm still young. I can't possibly leave the body. Something wrong. Call 991. 911. We can't become happy. Therefore, Krishna says the body's changing, but we ourselves within the body, we're not changing. Of course, anyone, especially if you're younger, like 5 or 6 years old, you can understand that. After that, it becomes difficult. The fact that the body keeps on changing, but the soul, ourselves, we're not changing. Therefore, we're actually eternal. Because I can say that, but we don't see anyone seeking, standing on end. Wow, I'm eternal, I'm going to live forever, this is fantastic. What fantastic information. All my worries are useless. There's no need to worry. Masujaha, yes, I'm eternal. But we listen to it and say, well, that's right, but we don't take it seriously. Just like Krishna comes, he lifts Govardhan Hill, he fights with Kaliya, he does so many wonderful activities, and all the residents of Vrindavan think, oh, big deal. It's not very important. So that's called Yoga Maya. And we're also on the Maya, but it's called Mahamaya. And therefore, although we hear from Bhagavad Gita that we're all eternal, we don't take it seriously. We think, oh, actually my material life is very important. And my spiritual life, well, that's also may have some importance, but it's not as important as the drama I'm going through, where I'm going to become, somehow or another, the hero. And even if my body doesn't live forever, my name will live forever in my divine pastimes. So therefore, one has to develop transcendental intelligence, transcendental vision, beginning with the fact that we're eternal, but being in the material atmosphere, being covered by the three modes of material nature, we're not allowed to appreciate our eternality. The material nature will not give us freedom from anxiety because we're criminals in the material nature. And the material nature is a police force. And so although we can intellectually understand that we're eternal, the material nature will not allow us to enjoy our eternality. The illusory energy punishes us with material consciousness. And although we're spiritual, but we're very tiny spiritual, and therefore we're forced to suffer under the three modes of material nature. Why? Because of our rebelliousness against Krishna. If we can understand that, even to a small extent, just like a criminal, if he gets good advice to stop stealing, then he may consider it. And if he actually takes it up, then his path towards freedom gradually becomes revealed to him. Similarly, if we can understand our unfortunate position, the fact that we are eternal souls, and everyone's an eternal soul, but we have an unfortunate position under the influence of the three modes, and there is a method of getting out of that influence, just like there is a method of a criminal to get out of jail. That is, we have to stop being criminal and then do whatever rectification is necessary to become an honest citizen. And Krishna says, janma karma tame divyam, that Krishna is spiritual just like we're spiritual, and he comes and shows spiritual life, what spiritual life is actually like, and what liberated souls, what they're actually doing. We don't find amongst liberated souls in Krishna's pastimes that they're, you know, doing the normal activities which are considered, you know, normal activities to people in this material existence. We don't find there are any Olympics in the Krishna's pastimes. There are no, Krishna wasn't making movies. There wasn't any sports. There wasn't any internet. There wasn't what we consider reality. There wasn't even Facebook. And this was actually after the dinosaurs were roaming on the planet. There were no dinosaurs in Krishna's pastimes that I remember. Of course, there were big demons. But these things didn't exist. What we consider any, you know, the essential principles of modern society, intoxication, slaughterhouses, brothels, and gambling houses, the essential pastimes for what we consider our lila. These things didn't exist. What existed was unalloyed love and devotion for Krishna. Therefore, it is said that if we understand Krishna, that Krishna is not an ordinary personality of this material world, that he's all attractive. He has unlimited beauty. He has unlimited knowledge. He has unlimited strength. He has unlimited fame. He has unlimited renunciation and unlimited strength. That he is everything we're looking for, but in an unlimited way. And he has unlimited love, loving relationships with his devotees. It is not that he's so great, he's so big that no one can even try to approach him. Because as soon as you get too close to him, you can't see him because he's so big. And you can't step far enough back in order to see him because he's so big. He comes and he shows what life is like of simply love and devotion. How every activity done by the devotees is due to unalloyed, unlimited enthusiasm to please Krishna. Just like in the material world, we have seemingly unlimited enthusiasm to try to serve this dead material body. So in the spiritual world, people have unlimited enthusiasm to actually serve the real body, Krishna's body, Krishna's transcendental body, which emanates bliss, which emanates love eternally, and illuminates the whole universe's material and spiritual world with consciousness. And here we're trying to squeeze a little bit of happiness out of a dead material body, and it simply repays us back with old age, disease, and death, and then another body to do the same thing over and over again. And when it gets down to it, it's only due to the fact that we're not conscious of Krishna. We don't understand, or we may even understand, but we can't appreciate the fact that someone could be greater than we are. Not only greater than we are, but unlimitedly greater than we are. And not only unlimitedly greater than we are, but becoming even more greater than we are all the time. And there's no way of catching up. We can't say, wait a second, Krishna, just cool it for a little while, I gotta catch up. Be fair. There is no competition in the spiritual world. The only competition that exists here is trying to please Krishna. Just like here, the competition is how much can I please my body that I'm in. I'm going to do the best possible service to my body. My body is going to become the most famous. My body is going to become the healthiest. My body is going to become the richest. My body. We're taking our body as Krishna, or Rakshimati Radharani, and we're doing everything we can to serve it, to make it the most, the best, the greatest, the most wonderful. So our attitude of service has never changed. Simply what's changed is we've misdirected our attitude of service to something which is not worthy of service and not really beneficial for us or for anyone else. But as soon as one recognizes that there is a person controlling this universe and it's not us, and we don't have to wait for the scientists to invent something to control the universe, it's already being controlled. Just like Prabhupada said, the scientists say that give us some hundreds and trillions of dollars and one day we'll create a living body. Maybe we'll be able to create a blade of grass. But there's already billions of blades of grass. So we can challenge the scientists here. Here's a whole bunch of grass. Just give me $100 million. Save some money. There's so much grass, and they're going to spend $100 trillion and invent one more blade of grass. And we just accept that there is a controller, and it's not us. It's not the scientists. And we don't need another controller. Everything is being controlled enough. What we need is higher consciousness, so we can find out who that controller actually is and why he's controlling everything. Why the soul is put into a temporary material body. Why the soul, even when he realizes he's eternal, still has to suffer the anxiety of thinking he's temporary. How powerful is the illusory energy over every living entity, eternal living entity? And why is this going on? So Krishna says it's going on because we fail to simply chant Hare Krishna. We fail to take seriously the fact that Krishna exists, and therefore mold our lives on that basis. Because if we forget about Krishna, therefore that vacuum is filled up with the three modes of nature. Maybe goodness, maybe passion, maybe ignorance. And therefore we go on with our so-called leela until the end, which is usually not a very nice end. Unless we happen to be a devotee. But the end for the body is more or less the same. The leela doesn't stop. Even when we leave the body, then the insects start eating it. If we're buried, or it's turned into dust, or ashes, or it sometimes is thrown to the vultures. So this body we work so hard to glorify, to become famous, and to become comfortable, winds up as a mess. We don't want to see a selfie after we leave the body. Maybe we leave the body, we come back as a ghost, and we think, maybe I need a little bit more makeup. I look like I'm getting old. No, we don't need that. What we have to do is actually realize the eternal body of Krishna, our eternal consciousness, which is realized when we become Krishna conscious. So Krishna is coming. He's giving us an opportunity for service to him. Because as we're serving this body, as we realize the body when we serve it in different ways, so we'll realize Krishna when we serve him in different ways. So his service is quite simple. His service is, somehow or another, understand his mission. His mission is to make everyone happy by helping everyone become free from the anxiety of misidentifying themselves with his body and the subtle mind by realizing himself, by realizing Krishna. As soon as one experiences Krishna, as soon as one becomes aware of Krishna, just like as soon as the sun rises up in the daytime, then at once the darkness of goes away. So once we actually experience Krishna, then all our gradually the influence of the material nature ceases, and we're able to see, experience our eternal identity and appreciate it without fear, without anxiety. As Prabhupada said, just like imagine if you're in jail for a long, long time, and then suddenly they come to you and they say you're free. How happy you feel. How joyful you feel. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. One feels joyful when one gets free from the material concept of life. And then, nisoshiti, nakamshiti, then there's no need to worry about the future, nor is there any reason to lament about the past. Instead, one can see all living entities as one's object of service, to help everyone become conscious of Krishna. That becomes one's only goal of life. And then one can actually begin real service to Krishna. Then the goal, the purpose of service is realized, I'm supposed to help others become conscious of Krishna. That's what this body is meant for, as an instrument to help others revive their consciousness of Krishna. Then one can actually enter into the realm of real devotional service. Then Krishna no longer becomes simply the order supplier. If there is a God, let him prove it. Let's see how he can help me. Krishna is helping us. He's helping every living entity. But when we actually understand our position, understand Krishna's mission, then everything fits into place, and then we know exactly what we're supposed to do. Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna will give us intelligence at every moment so that we remain fixed in His service, fixed in His association, and simply the happiness of associating with Krishna will increase at every moment. Not only the happiness of associating with Krishna, but the happiness of associating with Krishna's representatives, such as the Panchatattva, who've come here on the basis of Krishna's desire, because of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but the whole parampara is the manifestation of the heart of Krishna and Srimati Radharani to help all of the entities come back to the spiritual world. The whole creation is a manifestation of that. The whole incarnations and everyone who appears before us is all a manifestation of Krishna's desire to bring us back to the spiritual world. So when we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes as the gateway into the spiritual world, how the six Goswamis are coming and revealing that pathway back to the spiritual world, how the parampara is coming before us and offering us an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world by participating in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and simultaneously the Leela of Krishna. As we see that, as we take it up, this ISKCON movement, the Hare Krishna movement, as we find our place in it, then we find our place simultaneously in the spiritual world also. Then we can actually understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
It's very depressing that we have to leave the body. And I was wondering how we can get around it somehow to live forever in this body. Is it possible?
Yes, I guess in one sense you can come back as a worm. And as the body's deteriorating, you can stay in a little bit longer and have a good meal.
But I was thinking also, if I stay in the body forever, I wouldn't want to stay in the body, so I get frustrated with that as well. So,
well, that's the problem. I guess the problem is we're a little confused. First of all, we can't even stay in the body for a moment because it's always a new body. We can't even stop the body from changing for a moment. We never lament, oh, my baby body is dead. But I have no baby body anymore. No, we got a new body. We think, wow, this is great. This is a great new body. Then we get another one. So
So we don't really think, you know, we don't lament because, you know, I don't have my 16-year-old body. Maybe we do a little bit, but we feel comfortable in our present body too. So it's simply due to pure unalloyed illusion. Besides that, at the time of death, you know, after we leave our body, we won't lament about the body anymore because we won't remember we had it. No one in the womb thinks, oh, my poor body, what happened to my other body I had? It's just due to the illusory energy. And the more we're involved in the illusory energy, the more we have to suffer, that's all. The more we imagine all these different things. Oh, if I can only live in this body forever. Imagine, you know, when the body is 100 years old, what it's going to be like. And then 1,000 years old. Imagine living in that body. You know, if we're 300 years old and someone's going, hey, you're still in our ear. Hey, you're still there? Are you still there? Hey, wake up! Are you still there? I think I'm there, yeah. Hey, okay. What kind of condition our body's going to be in? Therefore, Krishna told Arjuna, don't lament about killing your old grandfather's body. He'll get a new body. Nice, fresh, young body. So there's nothing to lament about. If you had an old, broken-down car, and someone said, hey, I'll trade you, would you like this new, you know, Rolls Royce? No, this old, broken-down car, I'm kind of attached to it. It's so nice, you know. Well, I'll come back in 10 years. 10 years, you know, rusty, old, broken-down car. Would you like a new Rolls Royce? Well, maybe. So change of body means new car. That's all. New body. Nice, fresh, young body. And even one gets an animal body, but it's just suitable to what we desire. If we like to fly in the air, then why not become a sparrow? Or a mosquito? Mosquitoes have it. It's fantastic. You can fly all around the room here. Refuel. So many different refueling stations all around the room. And just keep on flying. You'll really get high now. And every single body has a different variety of taste.
If you want to live a long, long time in your body, you can become a demigod like Brahma, then you can live for the duration of the whole universe.
Yeah, but you have to do a little pious activity. For 100 years, you have to perfectly follow the Vanashram system. Yes?
Cool. You explained that material happiness doesn't last, which is definitely true. But at the same time, like, for example, when I'm reading Shastra, I can be very joyful and very experiencing something very intense, but it doesn't last too. So how do you make it?
Well, there's different stages called, one of the stages is called anartha vritti. It's not only a question of doing the right thing, but it's also finding out what we're doing wrong and then willing to give it up. So we have to find out what we're doing wrong, and then as we're trying to increase our concentration on Krishna, so we have to also try to decrease our concentration on Maya. At least regulate our material activities at first. And then as the taste increases, then gradually, material existence will seem tuchava. What seemed so attractive before will seem very unattractive now. Just like most of us, maybe some of us when we were younger, the idea of going to some fast food store. Mom, let's go to the fast food store. But now I don't think most of us would want to go to a fast food store unless we wanted to sell some book there, Krishna book. So that seems, then it seems so attractive, but now it seems very unattractive. So similarly, as we get the higher taste, yidavadi mama krishna cheta padaravinde nava navarasa daman yudhita rantimasi. What seems so attractive now, even sex life, which in the material world is glorified as like the pinnacle of happiness, will seem insignificant. When one tastes the unalloyed spiritual beauty of Krishna, everything else would seem quite insignificant comparatively. Yes?
Maharaj,
I wanted to ask you, what would be the good way to react? Yesterday we had a very hard conversation and I experienced like hard reaction. We were talking about homosexuality and some devotees were like defending the position that it's very natural and as good as anything else. And like they felt attacked when we were talking about homosexuality.
Yeah, well, generally we talk about Krishna. Therefore, to get involved in conversation outside of philosophy, unless it has some purpose of helping people become Krishna conscious, as soon as things get into an argumentative state, then we've lost the whole perspective. Because none of us, we're not heterosexuals, we're not homosexuals, we're not black or white, we're not Americans or Indians or Russians or Belgians, we're not the body, we're spiritual souls. So
we better stay out of this topic.
Generally speaking, especially if it's not, if it's not a cool, done with a cool head based upon spiritual understanding and the purpose to help people become Krishna conscious. Because after all, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Anuvegam karam bhakyam sattva priyahitam jaya. So austerity of speech, one of them is Anuvegam, don't agitate the minds of others. So if we're speaking to someone, we're simply agitating their mind. You know, we're demanding that they accept our perspective on things because it's Shastra. But we're agitating the mind. Then what we're doing is at least partly not correct because we're agitating their mind. We can speak to others if they accept our authority. Or say in class someone is speaking. They may speak in general. But ultimately, even a person giving class, he's trying to enlighten people in Krishna consciousness, not to agitate their minds unnecessarily. Because if one's mind is agitated, one's intelligence will be lost. And if one's intelligence is lost, one will not be able to understand what we're saying, even if it is scriptural. Therefore, we're defeating our own purpose to get into unnecessary arguments, especially amongst the devotees. Yes?
Some days ago, a very nice class by Bhaktivinoda Swami, and he spoke only about death, but in a very positive way. In essence, he was saying that every day we are dying. If we give up something, this is not good for us. This is not bringing us to Krishna. In this way, we are dying all the time by giving up things. This is not good for us. And then at the end, it's very easy because then. Did all your, what's it, and plans?
Tests,
and then example very easy because just they say that.
Very yeah, so let's give up a little every day and accept a little bit of Krishna. Yes.
If you see what things on TV and perceive our own life, all those things happening with us in the world, is it due to our own karma?
Yes.
Exactly. Can you also talk about societal karma, global karma? For example, there are so many other people in the world nowadays being killed because they have not that right religion or they belong to a different ethnic group.
What's happening in the world is that people are committing sinful activities, either in this lifetime or in the past life. And therefore now they're getting the reactions. Just like they're getting the reactions for the pious activities they perform. They get maybe some wealth or they get some prestige or fame. So they're also getting the reactions for their sinful activities. Especially the killing of animals means that they have to be killed in some kind of disaster. As they cause the poor innocent animals to suffer, so they'll also have to suffer.
And those 6 million Jewish people being killed in the concentration camps, what they do their own karma?
That's right. And the people who killed them, they also got karma by doing it. They'll probably come back as Jews and be killed by the same people that killed them. That's called karma. The whole material universe is going on under the laws of karma. And it keeps on going on because people are intolerant. They can't tolerate to let the poor animals live. They can't tolerate to even let their children live nowadays. They become so much impelled by the modes of material nature that they can't tolerate anything. So unless one can learn to actually fix the mind upon Krishna in this age through the chanting Hare Krishna, take Krishna prasadam, and let people become introduced to Krishna consciousness, all we can expect is that things will get worse and worse and worse. Because the mode of ignorance leads to more ignorance. It doesn't lead to goodness. You can't have people acting ignorant and expect a good result. People are acting ignorant, so all you can expect is a worse result.
And yet, all those people have never killed the animal, never eaten meat, were being killed by dictators. What is that?
Either that lifetime or in the past lifetime. Just like you may rob a bank, you may go to your hideout, and wait maybe 2 years later you get arrested, and you say, well, I haven't done anything lately. Why should you harass me? I've been pretty good for the last couple of years. So either in this lifetime or the previous lifetime. Luckily though, no one is killed. What we have to kill in this age is ignorance. That's what should be destroyed. Otherwise people will simply, their bodies are changing, that's all. But they're already changing, as it was said. Even if they're not killed today, just like there were 6 million Jews or whatever, whoever died in some war, in this war. But right now it's 45, say 44, so it's like 70 years. Probably everyone, one of them would be dead anyhow by now. Someone's going to kill us. Time is killing everyone. Kalos mi bharatarshuva. But what we had in the meantime, before we died, whether we die today, we die tomorrow, and 100 years from now, before that we should try to kill our ignorance. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming, introducing the Hare Krishna mantra, to kill ignorance. That's what should be killed. And that's what we can help people do. Kill their ignorance and awaken their real knowledge through the chanting Hare Krishna. So in the meantime, when people are getting their reactions or their activities, and we're also getting reactions to our activities, in the midst of that, we should try to introduce Krishna consciousness to actually be beneficial to people, to do something positive. As Prabhupada once said, if you light a match in a dark room, the darkness can't put the match out. So we should do something positive in this world, in the midst of all the problems that are going on. Yes?
You were saying that as we find our place in
Well, as Prabhupada once wrote to me, he said that the more you work seriously to help bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more Krishna will bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. So as we become serious about Krishna's mission, then the whole disciple succession, the six Goswamis, the Panchatattva, Lord Krishna himself, everything will be revealed to us within our heart as we become willing to become their instrument. So simultaneously they'll make us their instrument and everything will be revealed. Okay, thank you very much. Happy Janmasthami. Grandra Shri Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Shri Janmasthami Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishaka Ki Jai. Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Srimati Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.